God's peace to you in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. They rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Now today we mark the change of season. The 12 days of Christmas have now come to pass, and we enter into this great season of Epiphany, a season of joy, right? You know, you think, as the years have gone by, I have started to kind of feel bad in a way for the season of Epiphany. Because think back over the last month and a half to 2 months. We have a great festival of Thanksgiving where we give thanks for everything that God has given to us. That leads us then into an Advent season where we begin to focus on the promises of God in this one who would be born. We have special services, maybe even special meals. There are extra sermons to be prepared. And all of that leads right up to the celebration of Christmas. Jesus is born. We have angels, shepherds. And then we get to the joy of a new year. We start to celebrate. After all, we are moving the calendar on to another one. And just as a way of preparation, you're probably going to hear lots of 2020 vision statements this year. And then we journey to January 6th, Epiphany. Joyful time, right? January 6th, a great time to begin getting into a new season. After all, we've just celebrated Thanksgiving, Advent, Christmas, New Year. I don't know about you, after all of that, I'm kind of ready for a time of just letting things sit and relax a little bit. If you were to go, for those of you who serve in congregations, and talk to the people there, you might find that they're a little bit out-serviced at this point. They've been to a lot of extra. You yourselves may be at the point where you're thinking, yeah, the creative juices aren't quite flowing like they were a couple of months ago. Joy may not be the first word that springs to mind as you start thinking about Epiphany. Now, over the years, I have started also reflecting in this Christmas season and New Year season led me to think a little bit more about this whole story of Jesus being born and what happened with it. In fact, the other day I was speaking with my wife and I said, one of the things that stood out to me for this year for some reason is that when you go through this whole story of Jesus being born, if God did not make it abundantly and obviously clear that the Messiah had been born, no one would have ever known. If you think of it, an angel had to show up to talk to Zechariah to prepare Elizabeth for a child. An angel had to speak to Mary saying, you're going to give birth. An angel had to speak to Joseph telling him, don't be afraid, this is one from God. An angel had to show up to Joseph again telling him, move on into Egypt to protect the child. Angels had to show up to the shepherds out in the wilderness keeping watch over their flocks. A star had to be put in the sky to lead the Magi. God had to make it clear that his Messiah was coming into the world. No one else would have known. In fact, in our reading that we just heard from Matthew 2, it even used the word troubled when the word came that the king, the Messiah, had been born. With two exceptions. As you probably heard and reflected upon at the Christmas celebration, when the shepherds came, they rejoiced, and then as they made their way back to the fields, they began to tell everyone this good news of which they had been told. And then, as we heard today, as the wise men, the Magi, made their way to Jesus, when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Two instances of joy as the Messiah entered into the world. And for that reason, I want to take a moment this morning to reflect upon joy, specifically asking, Where is the joy that you are finding when you are led to the Messiah? Where is that joy that your interaction with the Messiah is bringing forth? Where in your interactions with the Messiah are you rejoicing exceedingly with great joy? It's a question that no one else can answer. You are the only one who can look within yourself to see where that joy is. And one of the things we reflect on is that our joy is more than simply knowing the story. Yes, it is wonderful to know the story, to see that God is sending the Messiah. But in some respects, doing that can lead to almost an academic nature of approaching the joy of the Messiah. Sermons have to be written, Bible studies prepared, time with family. And so joy may not always be what springs forth. Where is your joy? Where are you finding that exceeding joy? So that's what the Messiah has come to bring. Joy. Joy that God is doing his work through the Messiah whom we come to adore. Many of you have been reminding others of this, but part of that joy is that this one who came to redeem you. And yes, there is need for each of us for that redemption that he comes to bring. There may be even right now some of that sense of the need for redemption. Falling behind. Perhaps things in the Thanksgiving and Advent and Christmas and New Year have been put off because now's not a good time. And now the guilt is starting to arise that it needs to be done. Or perhaps you look back and see all those lost moments. Perhaps there wasn't as many family moments and interactions as you hoped for. And the guilt starts to arise. This one came to redeem you. To redeem you from a lost way of life, to redeem you to a new creation. In fact, this one also has the joy of announcing to you that he is going to make all things new, and that includes you. We may look around at this season of the year, we see bare trees for many of us in where we live. And while it may be a relief that you don't have to mow the grass, despite the blowers and the mowers showing up on campus today, we might at this point in the season trade that brown, dry grass for some green grass. Or maybe trade it in for instead of that layer of white that some of you may be facing. But this one has come to make all things new. And that is your joy because he is also going to make you new, to let that blessing flow as far as the curse is found, as you very likely sang just a couple of weeks ago. And this one's joy to you is that, yes, you are his child, you are God's child, and one day this one will say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant." He knows your heart. He knows what lies in there, that which you rejoice in and that which you may be ashamed of. He sees that within you which clings to God's Messiah with a childlike faith, regardless of how your life may be going at this time. And he looks at you and he says, "Well done." In fact, I thought it was very appropriate to sort of paraphrase something that I read just recently. It says, "Lord, you entrusted much to me. I gained much, but there was more that I could have done." And that the response that we can then likely hear would be something along the lines of this: "Yes, I am aware of all that you have done and all that you could have done more. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Yes, Epiphany is indeed a season for joy. The Magi showed up rejoicing exceedingly with great joy. And that joy continues to be yours because the Messiah came to redeem you, to make you into a new creation, and to say to you, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That joy is yours today, throughout this season of Epiphany, and until you come to face-to-face with your Savior. In the name of the Messiah, amen. And now may God's peace keep your hearts and souls in true faith to life everlasting. We stand as we join in singing the hymn.